Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. My pleasure. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And you're going to be glad you hung out with us because we got Chip Reeves with us. Chip's a new friend. He's National Director of Computer Troubleshooters. It's a franchise organization. I'm going to get him to tell us about it just a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about your computer and how you can do a better job of keeping it running at optimal levels. Chip Reeves, welcome to the show.
Jim, glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Chip, I love my technology. I absolutely love it because if it weren't for my technology, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. You and I wouldn't be doing this right now. If it weren't for the advances in technology, you know, I wouldn't, as an independent radio media company, you know, working, trying to make its way in an ocean of huge publicly traded sharks, I wouldn't be able to do this. So I love technology.
It is amazing how much technology works.
When it doesn't work, it's the bane of my existence.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're alone in that one somehow. I think that's the popular sentiment.
Yeah. So, to be honest with you, I mean, thank God, and I almost hate to have this conversation, Chip, because, you know, I learned many, many years ago that when you start bragging on any kind of equipment or machines, that's when they break.
Oh, yeah. Well, the good news is one of the things we found out is that a lot of the computer problems that people are getting are preventable, and that's, I guess, kind of what we're here to talk about with computer troubleshooters. A few years back, we started looking at our small business customers because we primarily look at small businesses, and for us, we define small businesses as between 1 and 50 computers. We don't care how many employees you have. We don't care how much sales you have. For us, it's all about computers. And one of the things we noticed is that our business has really changed. I've been doing this for about 20 years now, and 20 years ago, if somebody hired me to, you know, work on their small business computers, it mostly meant setting the darn things up and just loading programs. Loading programs was a big deal back then. And a few years go by, and people were hiring us to set up Windows for the first time, to get them networked for the first time. Then a few years later, it was getting on the Internet for the first time, getting email for the first time, all these new and exciting and productive things. But the last few years, really starting in about 1999, but especially since around 2003 or so, most of our service calls to small businesses have been to fix these little nagging issues, these things that everybody hates. You know, you get those phone calls, I'm about to throw the computer out the window, you know, those kind of situations. Not really helping people to, as you say, use technology for new and impressive things and help them take their business to the next level, but just putting out forest fires.
Well, do you think it's because people are take too long to upgrade their equipment and they try to get more out of it than it's really capable of? I mean, I know a lot of people. It amazes me how many people, you know, will try to keep a computer 5-6 years when it's been basically obsolete for the last three.
Well, that's true. And you know what's interesting? This is really the first time, I'd say the last 2 or 3 years, is really the first time we've been in a situation where there's not a compelling reason to upgrade. You know, if most of what you're doing is word processing and spreadsheets and Internet and email, you know, the computers from the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years can do that just as well as the ones today. Maybe not quite as fast, but they can still do the job. And so people don't really feel a need to upgrade. And to some extent, that's okay, but you got to understand that just like any other piece of equipment, any other appliance, the older something gets, especially when it's a computer with moving parts on the inside, the likelihood of failure does start to go up.
Right.
The other thing you start to run into, too, because especially if you, heaven forbid, use some of these you know, department store-type computer service companies, a lot of times they've got you know, these really young techs that are, you know, fresh out of college or in college or whatnot. And if your computer's 5 or 6 years old, it may be using technology they hadn't seen before. So you run into that as well. It can take longer to diagnose just when people are trying to figure out, you know, what that stuff is.
What is the biggest mistake that you see people doing with their computers?
Well, I don't know about mistake. I'll tell you, hands down, the biggest problem we see is spyware. And it's anywhere between 60% and 80%.
Tell the audience what spyware is.
I will. Spyware is it's basically just evil programs. It's malicious software that's written by the publisher for the purpose of using your computer for their own benefit, not for your mm-hmm. benefit, but for their benefit. And that's kind of a broad definition. It's probably not the official
definition. Where your computer becomes a zombie?
That's definitely part of it. It can range from, on the very innocuous side of things, the sort of low-grade spyware can be things that sit on your computer, watch what kind of websites you go to, and then use that to show you appropriate ads. So if they notice you're going to a lot of hiking websites, they'll show you ads for hiking.
But
equipment.
Can't they do that through the ISPs as well?
The ISPs will sometimes do that. It amazes me that it works because it's so complicated and kind of beyond me. But
initial Internet service provider, folks, the people who connect you to the Internet is what an ISP is. It's your Bell company, it's your cable company, whoever you do business, whoever connects you to the Internet, that's your ISP. Go ahead.
That's right. And we don't see as much of that innocuous level stuff, though. The stuff that we tend to see is the more dangerous stuff, the more malicious stuff. You see spyware. I think the most common type we see nowadays is it's a piece of software that'll get installed on somebody's computer for the purpose of sending spam. Mm-hmm. Now the person doesn't know they're sending spam, you know. But if you think about it, especially right. with people's home computers, because you have these really powerful home computers, they yep. got a high-speed internet connection, and they're sitting around doing nothing most of the day. You know, I mean, this would be mm-hmm. a supercomputer back in the days when I was in college, mm-hmm. and it's just sitting around, you know, doing nothing. So these spyware manufacturers are looking to tap into that. Now they're smart. And they make money doing this. This is a for-profit industry, and they know that if you discover the spyware, that you're going to try to get it cleaned off, and they stop making money. So they go to great lengths for you not to notice what's going on, and they've gotten smart. They, you know, they might only send 10 spam a day off your computer or
right.
100 spam a day, so it doesn't really get noticed. You might notice it's a little bit slower. You might notice some error messages. But what happens is it's almost, I'd say we never see a computer that has one piece of spyware. We see a computer that has a dozen or 100 or in some cases literally hundreds of thousands of pieces
wow.
of spyware. And so they're all trying to do this.
Now,
stuff.
These are computers that don't have any kind of security system on them, right?
Sometimes they have security software, but it's been expired. We
right.
see that a good bit,
right.
and especially with businesses, because if you don't pay attention to it, at least I know with my staff, a lot of times they'll start getting error messages, and
yeah.
they'll just click past them and not
folks,
tell anybody.
You gotta have security software on your equipment. When we come back, I'm going to ask Chip what he recommends. What do you think about the different companies that are out there? Because there are several, and we'll do that right after these messages. Chip Reese is our guest. He's National Director for Computer Troubleshooters. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out using Rear Advantage whenever you get a chance. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. We're visiting with Chip Reeves, National Director for Computer Troubleshooters. And Chip, tell us about your company.
Well, Computer Troubleshooters is originally an Australian-based company. It's a franchise, so we've got about 500, I think it's about 497 locations in 27 countries right now. My original partners in Australia retired, so now the headquarters is here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Ah, so you run the whole worldwide organization.
We do, all from one little office in Atlanta.
Congratulations. Now, if somebody wanted to find out how to become a franchisee, to get one of your franchises to operate in their community, how would they do that?
Everything starts from our website, computertroubleshooters.com. Makes it easy.
All right. So check that out. Just how much training do I have to have? Do I need to be a double A to be to be able to be a franchisee? What do I need?
No, not necessarily. There's really two ways you can do it. We do get a lot of people who come to us who have been in like a corporate IT environment, and they've got some computer skills and they want to put those to use in their own business. We get a lot of those. We also get some people who just have a sales or management background and just want to hire technicians and do it that way. So you know, both can be successful. There's pros and cons to both. The management sales guys tend to get off to a little bit slower start, but then tend to ramp up very quickly.
But I've noticed the technology guys I've known, frankly, Chip, to be real honest with you about this, the people I've known who were really good at technology weren't all that good at running a business.
Yeah, that's exactly the reason that I got into this, because a long time ago, back in the late 80s, early 90s, before I joined Computer Troubleshooters, I actually met up with the original founders in 1999. I used to run my own computer business, and I saw some brilliant guys who could run rings around me technically, who never made any money, tried to run their own business for 2 or 3 years, in a lot of cases got into all kinds of financial trouble. A couple of them got divorced. It was just, you know, bad stuff.
Wow.
And so I saw Computer Troubleshooters as a way to take all those guys who want to serve customers locally in their area, who want to do, you know, a good service, and teach them the business side of things. Teach them how to market, teach them how to charge properly for their prices, teach them how to take care of customers. And that's what Computer Troubleshooters does.
Right. Well, and that's computertroubleshooters.com, right?
Mm-hmm, that's us.
All right, so check it out. Okay, we're talking about the spyware that you say is pretty prevalent on many computers, and regardless of which system you use, the predominant ones are Norton antivirus and all that, and McAfee, which is, I guess that's the current name, McAfee now,
and then
also AVG, which is the one that I use, is another one. I don't know if there are others out there. But they all do a good job, I guess, basically, of getting you covered. The main thing is not, and I'm going to say, even though you and I may have a preference, Chip, the main thing is just to get a full system, not just virus protection, but the full system. Even if it costs you $50 a year, that's cheap protection. Get the full system, keep it updated, and keep it current.
That's absolutely true, and that's the thing that a lot of businesses miss. You know, we've gotten used to the antivirus side of things. I think there was enough news coverage and everything a dozen years ago where people knew they had to get antivirus protection on their computers. But virus protection won't stop spyware. It's really two different engines. Although we are starting to see a few packages, AVG you mentioned is one of our favorites. They've just combined the two into one, and a few others have as well. So you can buy one package that's both antivirus and anti-spyware, but make sure it says that on the box, because otherwise you're not protected at all for spyware.
That may be the most important thing, folks, that you learned today. Anti-spyware is not covering you. If you don't have any spyware, but you do have anti-spam, you're not or antivirus, those are three different things. Anti-spam, anti-spyware, and antivirus, three different things you need to be protected, among other things, including a firewall, including other things. What about some other things? What else do we need to know about? I know what I wanted to ask you. What about Vista? What do you think about do you recommend Vista now?
You know, not generally. Not
really?
For businesses. For home use, it's fine. And for some business use, it's fine.
Because I'm getting ready to buy a new computer, maybe two new ones. And, you know, of course, the default system is Vista.
It is, and it's getting harder and harder, especially now that we're past June 30th, which is the cutoff date that Microsoft made for XP. It's getting harder and harder to find systems that have XP. You can buy machines from some major manufacturers and some local mom-and-pop shops who will get you a license of Vista, but then downgrade you to XP in a legal fashion that Microsoft allows. It mostly depends on the software that you're running. If you're just doing Microsoft Office, Internet, and email, then Vista is fine. But so many businesses, you know, have other applications. You've got line of business applications. You know, if you're an engineering firm, you've got an engineering application, or law firms have legal software. In a lot of cases, that software has not yet been upgraded for Vista. So you really want to check with the software manufacturer to see.
But if you're using off-the-shelf software, you're not using some kind of customized industry vertical software, Vista's not too bad.
Provided it's relatively recent off-the-shelf software.
Yeah.
If it's something you've purchased in the last 2 or 3 years, you're probably okay.
Right, right. Okay, give us that website again one more time, Chip.
www.computertroubleshooters.com.
Computertroubleshooters.com. Hey, Chip, will you come back another day and give us some more information?
I'd love to, Jim.
We've enjoyed having you here. Chip Reeves, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. Quick break, right back with Judge William Huss. His Honor will be here right after these messages. Stay with me. Smiling inside.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.